this new walk, this new life. And may God give you grace to your parents and also, and we'll pray for you. Let's continue to pray for some of those folks that we work with closely. Phil George is also preparing a testimony for the church here in the next Sunday or two to share of his own life. So let's continue to pray for him. We are having weekly Bible study, and Monday morning we plan to sit with him again. And so let's continue to pray for him and Destiny as well. We're going to give our time. We're going to give time for testimony and sharing of the events of our brothers and sisters who were gone for a long time. And I think we're going to start with you, June, and then we'll look to Irma. And we're also going to give Curtis opportunity. You wish not to speak? We'll give him opportunity since you're here as a visitor this morning and freshly back, and we'll give you an opportunity if you wish to stand to your feet. I'll give you that opportunity, and then we'll turn the time over to Tony, and then Steve will share what's on his heart. So back to you, June, if you would stand up. And thank you. Irma, we'll give time to you for your service. And I think it's a good point for us to consider as a church what it does mean to send those pictures, messages, whatever they might be, from here to there. It is something we need to hear. Thank you, Irma. Tony, we'll ask you to come forward, and then Steve.
It's very good to be here this morning. I wasn't sure where to start and stop. I feel like I have a lot of material, and I want to give a good representation of what we've experienced in the last 2 months. Psalm 27, 13 and 14 says, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And I can say that was my testimony. God was good to us, and God was faithful in our period away from here. And I want to start off with a big thank you for the church here, for the support and the prayers that we felt, the emails and the WhatsApp messages. It meant a lot. Thanks to Tim and Kevin for picking us up yesterday. And thank you very much to the ones that were responsible for stocking our kitchen and making sure our house was clean and welcome when we came back yesterday. Thank you to Matt and Janelle for taking care of our mail and making sure that the bookkeeping didn't fall behind. That's a big thing to me, to make sure the bills are paid and everything's taken care of. And that meant a lot. There were times after we got there and we're settling in there that we hardly knew where we belonged. We didn't live here long enough to really put roots down. We had lived in our house here for only 4 months, and then we were there, and it was kind of a weird feeling. We'd think about home, and we would think about our climber house and our climber community and maybe even our church at Hillsdale. And it was, we felt like we had hardly been here long enough and didn't have much of a point of reference. But I told the team that maybe we just had to trust that's where God wanted us and make us realize that we are truly strangers here in this earth, that we don't really know where we belong. So we arrived in Bajwa February 3rd, and Bajwa is an island, and I didn't get any statistics on how big it is or how many people are there, but you had to cross the water to get there. And we crossed that river, and three days ago, whenever we crossed there, was the first time that I had been back across. I had been on the island the entire 2 months. Irma had went out for a shopping trip with one of the girls one time, but so we started our long journey home on Thursday. And what did we experience there on that island those 2 months? In some ways, it seemed like a very short time. We came into Washington D.C. and we were driving out of there, and it seemed like a very short time that we had driven down there. In some ways. But in other ways, it seemed like a lot of things had happened in those 2 months. And there were times in Bajwa that it seemed like the time would never come that we were going to come home. And I can definitely say that the last 2 months has had an impact on our lives and our family. And we have to hope that we had a positive impact on other people's lives. I can definitely testify that God is good. He always gave us strength for the day. It was challenging for our family in many ways, and I really missed the functioning of our own little family. And it was difficult to keep our children disciplined and prevent pride and vanity from always, you know, they're always the center of attention with the team and with the community people. It was difficult to keep the schoolwork and grades where they should be. But there were a lot of good things. We had a lot of enjoyable times with our team family, and I really felt like we were a family. Aaron Durstein, Jemmy Kreider, Brenda Whitmer, Kendall Hirschberger, June Zimmerman, Samantha Hackman was our children's teacher, and Monica Hirschberger. And supper time was a highlight and a great opportunity to discuss issues, swap stories of the day. We could really feel in tune with what was happening because of what we heard, their stories, you know, the things they were facing. We went to fill the role of house parents. My responsibilities included shopping for supplies and being accountable for the money that was spent. My biggest challenge by far was filling my time. I made some friends and I could go have tea with them. I did some cleaning and painting around the house. All my life, I've been driven by my work schedule, and it was a challenge for me to get up every day and not really know what I was going to do that day. It was very different. One of the highlights for me was several different friends from the community taking me around on the island by motorcycle. I took several different trips by motorcycle to different places of the island, and I really enjoyed that. We missed the comforts of home more than I anticipated. I really had not anticipated that we would miss our comforts here as much as we did. I've never been as much of a hot weather person, and I've always enjoyed cold weather and snow. And so the last month was warm there, and just having no escape from that was challenging for me. Another thing, one of the team members said before we came home that everything is so quiet when she gets home, and I didn't really understand that. I didn't really think that would be the way it was. But since we got home yesterday, it seemed that in our tomb of a house, my ears just ring with silence. It's just, I just can't believe it. I didn't realize how noisy it was, even though we were in a village. We weren't in a big city. You live in a house that's open to the outdoors, and there's always dogs barking, people talking, horns blowing, bicycle bells, and even at night, we would wake up. There was a room, the little room outside our office, outside our room, there was a little office that was night guard and property manager, and I don't know, it seemed like they never slept. We would wake up at 2 o'clock and there'd be these loud discussions going on right outside our window. And just noise. Another thing that we really missed was, we realized this when we came home, it was clean water from the tap, Hot showers, luxurious soft beds, a clean environment, sofas, carpet on the floor, smooth open roads, our own vehicles to go where we want to whenever we feel like it, wearing shoes and stockings, wearing clothes that aren't damp with sweat 5 minutes after you put them on. It was kind of overwhelming coming back to all these things, coming to our house and having all these nice things. Another thing that I missed was Sundays as we know it. And I would have just enjoyed to be here and listen to the word this morning, because we don't get that. And just dressing up for church and going to be with church family and worshiping God like we know it here, we really miss that. So it's great to be back, but there is a great work in the community in Bajwa. And the things that I'm relating here, some of them are unique to Bangladesh as a country, but some of the things that we had there are unique to Bajwa because it is a different community than some of the other areas. And we were there for 2 months and that's all we knew. There are unique challenges there, I believe. There's a mix of Hinduism, Islam, and the so-called Christianity. And there's a great mixing together of all these religions there. A Christian service will have practices and ceremonies that closely resemble Hindu practices. They're burning incense, they're bowing down in the front. I didn't see some of these things, but some of the team did and observed them and said how much they resemble the Hindu practices and ceremonies. The so-called Christian ladies will have jewelry in their nose just like the Hindu ladies do, and there's just a tremendous mixing together of their practices. And it brings a complacency of you do your thing, we'll do ours, or if you live a good life, you'll be all right, you do enough of good things, you'll be all right, you know, you were born into Christianity, I was born into Islam, that kind of mentality. And it brings a lot of challenges, maybe almost the kind of challenges that we face here in America with this complacency of, you know, you're Mennonites, you're good people, that's good, you know, but we'll do our thing. And it can, I think it brings a challenge of being that light for Christ and having converts, if you will. But I will say that I think there are seekers there. And there are people noticing that our profession of Christianity is very different than the Christians that they know there. And I really struggle with the term of Christians there because we're so used to, you know, he or she became a Christian, we're Christian, and we use it, when it's used there, it's used so differently. They're Christians, but it's just a name. And the Christians there, their reputation is maybe that they're there to get money. They're not honest, and people are noticing a difference there, in our profession of Christianity that we're not there to get their money. We're honest in all things. We truly care about people's problems. And as far as the impact there, I don't have a point of reference what it was like several years ago, but we heard testimonies of local people that said that, you know, we cannot imagine the difference that is there in the community since the Americans have arrived there 5 years ago, with people noticing, you know, making changes in their lives. And, you know, we want to give glory to God for that our life, that the Anabaptist lives and the walk of life is bringing a change in the community there. There's a group of young people that our team was friends with, and my burden is that they would come to an understanding of salvation. There are people there that I think are seeking. I developed a friendship with one of Brendel's good friends, an 18-year-old boy named Mahedi, a very decent young man, and very curious about American ways and our religion. It was really interesting to hear his questions. I have a sincere desire to see his curiosity develop into faith in Jesus Christ. I think I think it can come and will come if he keeps seeking. He was at our church service on Sunday morning 2 weeks ago when Steve was with us. It's the only time that there was anyone from outside that was with us, but he had been asking some questions. I said, why don't you just come Sunday morning? And he did, and Steve talked about holiness, and later he was asking Brendel about things, and it was very typical of him when there was a discussion that he would just ask Brendel a lot of questions. Another man that I developed a relationship with was Titosh. He's about my age, married about the same amount of time as we are. He has one daughter, 5-year-old daughter, and he's a very busy man. He's working for the Chinese as a manager, and works 7 days a week, all the time. He's hardly at home. I did some English classes with him and had tea with him countless times. I went out with him. And I related some of my struggles of being too busy in life and just told him some things about how I had a business and why I don't anymore. And to me, it was just kind of a casual relationship. But I guess the friendship meant more to him than I realized, because when we left, he gave me a big hug, and he was so emotional, he couldn't talk. I didn't really expect that out of him. And then a little bit later when we were leaving there, I was talking to him again, and I said to him, I don't remember now how I said it, but I said, just remember to spend time with your family and something to that effect, and he just teared up again, and we gave him a Bible and a 101 Bible story in English, and he was just really grateful. He said all religions are good because they teach good works, and he's just, you know, he's a Muslim man, but not really. I mean, it's by birth, and I didn't really talk a lot of spiritual things with him. His English is really hard to understand. He has really good vocabulary. He knows English, but his accent's really bad. But I was learning to catch on some. But like I said, to me it was kind of a casual relationship, but it was good. And he was concerned about us getting home safely and called me when we were in Dhaka and wanted to make sure we're all okay. There was a group of Chinese lived in the floor below us, and they're doing construction work there. And they have been kind of looked down upon in the community, and they didn't really interact with the local people. They have local people employed, but they're just kind of, they're outsiders, and there wasn't a real good relationship. But it seemed that that has been changing in the last several months, and there was some thought that maybe it was because they saw that we as foreigners have friendships with them. We had some casual friendships there, and it seemed like the community was relating a lot better to them. And the Chinese seemed to really enjoy the Sunday evening children's class too. They were there and they would watch and they would do video calls with their family in China, and it just seemed like they really enjoyed it. And there was a lady there, a single lady, her name was Shelley, a Chinese lady, that she was a secretary, and she was talked with Irma some, and again, it didn't seem like we did a whole lot with her, but when we left, she was crying. And it was like, you know, why? I mean, we didn't really do that much with her, but we gave her a 101 Bible story book. We gave her a book and a picture too, and I think there's an opportunity there to be a witness to those people. And I was just kind of in awe that, to me, it just seems we're just people, but I have to realize that we have Christ in us, and that testimony and that joy in our lives, people can see that in us. The children's church on Sunday evening, I think, is a great blessing. Steve started that, I think, several years ago, and it was a really big responsibility for the team, and especially the three team members that were comfortable enough with Bangla to lead out in that and come up with stories. But it was enjoyable, and I loved watching that. The children are being taught stories about Jesus. They're being taught Christian songs, their Bible verses. The last several weeks they were working on memorizing the Golden Rule, and even though I couldn't understand what they were saying, it was great to hear those children pipe up and just quote that verse by memory. And another thing I loved was the songs that we sang. You'd hear them. You'd hear them throughout the week, some just little snippets of those songs being sung. And then, of course, there's the English teaching going on, and both in the schools and the private classes right around there. You can definitely see fruits of that English teaching coming on. The boy Mahedi that I was friends with, only two or three years ago, he started really interacting with Brendel, and he told me that he didn't interact with the Americans before because he couldn't talk English and he was shy, but his English is really pretty good. And there's other youth there that have had private classes, and their English is really good. And it's of advantage for them with job opportunities that they wouldn't otherwise have. And I'm not sure, I mean, it's great. I think it's really, really good. I just hope that can help them in their spiritual lives too, somehow. But it is really, really great for us to be able to go there and be able to have people that we can talk to. The language barrier was way bigger than I anticipated. To go there with just absolutely zero vocabulary is a huge challenge. And to me, it was really hard to pick up on anything. They'd tell me a word and I think I'm going to remember it. And I just couldn't remember it. I would tell people there, they'd tell me a word. I'd tell them that it's going in here, it's coming out here. Just, it was really hard. But I can see where another month for us would have really helped me, because the conversations were starting to become familiar. You'd hear words, you didn't know what they meant, but you could hear words. So it was really, really good for us. And sometimes, you know, it seemed like maybe we weren't that needed. We were there to guide the team and be responsible and accountable. But often I would think of, we had a lot of neighbor children around there that were around a lot, and they wanted every reason to come upstairs just to be up there. And we didn't let them near all the time, but one thing that was interesting was that they would come up and they just wanted a drink. Well, you can't turn down a child for a drink. And I think we hardly ever sent them down without giving them drink. I often thought of the verse, Mark 9:41, and it's also in Matthew, a similar thought. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. You know, you couldn't turn down a child for a request of a drink of water. I had to think, you know, there's a blessing even in this. We can help in these ways. So I want to thank you again for your support and your prayers. And I do not want to give the impression that a negative impression of our stay, because it wasn't. Even just since we're back, I'm looking back and we had a lot of good experiences, a lot of good memories, and we made more friends than we really even realized. Just since we're back, I mean, I was very, very hesitant to, I don't know how to say it. I went there and I didn't want to develop any deep relationships. I just didn't want to become too connected. So I didn't want to give my phone number out a lot. But I did some. And I've gotten some text messages since I'm back. And I think we developed more friendships than we realized. Another challenge, I think, for the people there, they develop friendships and then we leave. And I just saw it so much when we were leaving. Mehedi, the boy I developed a friendship with, was telling us that I was asking him when we first came if he was there to meet us and when he first saw us, and he said no, he wasn't there. He saw us walking in. He said the first person he saw was Sharla, and him and Sharla were just really good friends. But he said he didn't want to learn to know us, because Rubens had just left, and he had told Brendel that he is not going to learn to know the new set of house parents because it's way too sad when they leave. And so there we were on the dock, and we were leaving, and he was like, here I am again, and I'm saying goodbye to you, and it's just so hard, and you just have to feel bad for them, because they learn to really become friends with the Americans, and then they leave again. So, I feel like I would have a lot to relate, but it was a good trip, and I just ask for your prayers for our family as we recover from the trip itself, coming back, and as we put our roots down here again. I think we really want to support and help build the church here, but I think it's going to be kind of difficult because we didn't have a lot to build on from before. But we really feel like we have friends here. So thank you very much.
Really enjoyed that, Tony. a lot of memories, and I know how you're feeling. Tim asked me yesterday if I would give a little report too, and right at first I thought, well, I don't have that much. And as I thought, yeah, there's more to share, but I know the time's running out here, so I don't want to take more time than necessary. So I'll just try to give you a short snapshot of the trip I took over there, and it was a privilege to be able to go. I was asked if I would consider going over to Bajwa, and that was the main goal of my trip, was to go to Bajwa and spend some time with the team and the folks there, as a board member, I guess, and just support them. So it was very different for me. It was the first time I've traveled there by myself. And from the time you leave here to the time you get to the flattened dock, it's about 27 hours of travel. And it was a lot of alone time with myself and God in an airplane. You know, it's just you launch off and there you are. But the trip went very good. I arrived in Dhaka. Donald's were not there, so I had the flat to myself. It was the first time I navigated Bangladesh alone, and I kind of actually enjoyed it. I was a little concerned about it. But with applying my meager affair of Bangla and English, and which I call Bunglish, we found our way around, of course, with modern communication. Brendel and others I could talk to there to help me with names and certain words I needed to know to get the right bus to the right place. So, one thing I was impressed with was how light it was to travel. The last two times was with my family, and by myself is such a different, it felt so different. It was so easy. But I really did miss my family, and I knew there was a lot of things they would have enjoyed along the way. So I arrived. I spent one night in Dhaka and got a bus to Bajwa, and arrived there in the middle of the afternoon. I left here on a Wednesday morning and arrived there Thursday morning. I left here, arrived there Saturday afternoon, about 2:30 in the afternoon. It was the lazy, kind of quiet, hot time of the day. A lot of people were resting and things were semi-shut down. The team was all gone for a little day they had planned. So I arrived there by myself, and it was very surreal to come across that river and walk up those dusty paths. I skirted the village because I wasn't quite prepared to meet all the contacts in the village. No one knew I was coming. And arrived there and had time to refresh and relax a little bit at CSS, at the house there. And so
So I spent the next 5 days there, five and a half days roughly I was there, and I really enjoyed the time with the team. And just, it was a very busy time. A lot was going on in the last, it was within their last 2 weeks of being there. So everything was kind of ramped up and many places to go and schedules to try to meet. Some of the final days at school were happening, so I had opportunity to spend some time at the school. And of course, there's some little meetings or some speeches that go along with that. We are there to teach English, so that's our platform for being there. So we do take the necessary time to cultivate those relationships with the schools and the administrations and all that goes along with that. I was blessed by what I saw with Tony and Irma. Their work there as house parents, and their work with the team. As with any work that is worthwhile, there's always challenges, and. I've spent some of the time just walking with the different individual team members and hearing them and their challenges, difficulties, struggles. Had the opportunity to talk with them and try to be a listening ear and to give direction where I could. As I thought about our work going into a country like that, into a foreign place, of a mix of religions, and it really is a challenging work, and we really do ask a lot of our volunteers, our young people. They go there. Often, as house parents, we end up there with much less experience culturally. We don't know the language. We have team members who have acclimated in a lot of ways, know the language, and it can feel like a difficult position at times. But I thought of our team members, and one of my new favorite passages that I just recently, my attention was brought to is in Acts. We'll just go there for a little bit. Acts 17, maybe starting at verse 16. And this is such an inspiring account of Paul as he was in Athens, and he saw the tremendous idolatry there. I'm just going to read a little bit, starting at 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily with them that he met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "He seemeth to be setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what those things mean." For all the Athenians and the strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things that ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him." You get the picture of like groping in darkness. "Though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then," and he goes on and he uses some of their own poets, and he uses their own religion, as it were, to say, this God, this unknown God that you're trying to worship, really is this God. And we need a lot of wisdom. And so Paul was able to communicate. Some of us go there without being able to communicate. And as I thought of our team, the young people, as they put their time, first of all, into English teaching, and then out of that, all the relationships and interactions and tests that come their way with relationships and being there as a foreigner and relating to the friendships. There's a lot of religion mixed in. Where do I go? Where don't I go? What's appropriate? What's not? How can I interact with them in their darkness and in that show them light? And those are the pressure points that come along and that I'm sure are not always handled perfectly. I'm sure mistakes are made, but I see in the hearts of our team members a tremendous effort that goes into the lives of people and trying to know when's the right time to show this person, to show him Jesus, to explain who Jesus is. No, I do not like your idols. I don't want to worship your idols. They're ugly to me. Can I tell you about Jesus? Forget my train of thought. There was some more interesting history here on some of these poets that Paul was talking about and how he used that in some other writings that go a little deeper into that. But may we have the vision and the wisdom. Our young people aren't necessarily Paul's going into these cultures, but we are called to be teachers and preachers and to show Jesus where we can. There are many things happening there, I believe, in Bajwa. I've heard from different of the team members their interactions with the Hindus and the Christians and the Muslims that there is what appears to be a movement starting, you know, just grassroots, people asking questions and wondering about, as they observe the American Christians, something that they, so different what they would have perceived, and they see the life and the love, it is having an impact. I guess one thing I wanted to say, you know, in struggles of works like this, it's a little like church life. Because church doesn't go perfect doesn't mean we don't continue to work together as a church. And I think it's the same in this kind of work. We work on the areas that we need to work on. We lift up and strengthen the areas that are positive. So I was able to meet a lot of friends and surprise a lot of people, walk into their village, met them here and there, and I really enjoyed that. Particularly a young Muslim man and a young Christian man, they're in their probably early 30s. One's married, the Christian man's married, the other was single, Raj and Tuhin. They have been friends of our team for the last couple years. We got to know them through traveling, using motorcycles to get to a school. And they have both testified that changes that have happened in their own lives as they have watched our team and interacted with our team. And I think there is a work happening there. Tuhin, last year before we left, we'd spent a lot of nights in the last 2 weeks talking with him and hearing him just pour out his heart, his life story, his desire to follow Jesus more closely in his life, and we left, and he doesn't know much English, so communication is tough after we're gone without someone to interpret. But I was able to, as a team, we had lunch at his place, and then the last night I was able to arrange to just sit with him and spend a couple hours with him and ask him how his life is and listen to him talk. How his life in Christ is, and he's interested in the Christian life and walking in purity. He attested to the changes that are happening in his life. He was brought up with taught Christianity and a faith in Jesus, but he really kind of rejected it as he saw the lack of life in the Christian church there, so-called Christian church. So he's been very drawn to what he has seen, and I asked him how he feels, if he feels alone in his walk, and he does. He said his desire, his dream is to have a group of believers, brothers and sisters, who can study the Bible together and live it together. And I told him I believe God will honor that in his life, and it begins with people seeking and truly wanting that. And talked about the members. We looked at the verses in, I believe it's Corinthians, about the members of the body and how it starts personally, but the beauty is, and as there are the members come together in a body, and what comes out of that. And he really lit up with that. He really appreciated our time together. I told him we're going to continue praying with him and walking with him, and that we will help him where we can. So it's something I think we can remember to pray for this young man, that there would be fellow believers that would rise up there to where a body of believers could be formed. He left with tears in his eyes and was very grateful for the time together. So those are some things that are happening there. I left there, traveled back to Dhaka, and then flew to southeastern Bangladesh to Cox's Bazar and met Arnold and a Bangladeshi worker who's employed by our board, by the Bangladesh board, under the NGO work there, who is helping Arnold with the all the details of the camp, the medical clinic with the Rohingya people. I had a desire to see that, and I really enjoyed being able to go down there and spend a little time with Arnold. He's there with his wife and three other ladies, so he appreciated the opportunity for another man to spend a little time with. And I just share a few things there. God is working there in those details. The day I visited the camp was the second day the little clinic was up and running, and people lined up around this clinic, a lot of ladies and children. And I just saw that I believe God really moved in the location of the camp. They had the clinic. They had a very difficult time finding a spot. This land is just overrun with tent cities. Picture Pittsburgh and Harrisburg populations plus to put together, and just sprawling miles of camp. Hills, just all the trees removed, pathways and steps cut into the dirt to traverse around these camps. All you hear is the sound of people and voices and children crying, and life goes on. You know, there they are, desolate, rejected, not able to work. Of course, there are many political, religious tie-ins to the conflict, and our goal isn't to be there to decipher any of that. It's to show the love of Jesus to a people who've been treated as less than human. And I think as they show the love, just in caring for them, that a light is going to go out there. I think something beautiful will come out of that. There are, I think, three sisters there as nurses. There are some local Bangladeshis, two young ladies employed as translators. The local language is not Bangla. It's related, but it's different. So our Bangla speakers can't really communicate there. The Rohingya have their own unwritten language, but the locals in Bangladesh in this area they know maybe 80% of the Rohingya language, so they're able to communicate and back to our people in English. They need to know English. So that's how that's happening. It was interesting to see these two Muslim ladies from Bangladesh interacting with our team members to communicate with the Rohingya. And just in that alone, I saw the opportunity for the love of Jesus, for them to have the opportunity to ask about our faith. And so that was an enjoyable time. Very perplexing as you see all these people and wonder about what their future is. And it's just one of the many troubles in the world that God knows about. May we be his hands and feet where we can. So remember to pray for them there in that work. So much more to be said. I'll just leave it at that.
in closing, I just want to read these three or four verses again. Maybe I'll take the liberty to change a word or two. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved constrained Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and so that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we all are witnesses of these things. We were not there with the disciples standing there with Jesus right before us, but we are witnesses of these things. Thank you all for your testimony this morning. Thank you for your patience, your time. And if you have questions and comments, please take them up with. I know all of them have more to say, but may God be praised. May he receive the honor and glory for what he is doing. Let's be faithful as a church. Let's be faithful as a congregation, as brothers and sisters together, that we remain faithful. Brother Ernest was preaching this morning at New Malsburg. His final night of revival meetings is tonight. Let's remember him in his prayers, in our prayers, and also request prayers on my behalf. I plan to travel to Elida, Ohio tomorrow for a week of revivals there, Monday through Sunday night. Let's stand together for closing prayer, and Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please? Thank you.